Hey everyone, and welcome to Signals from the Frontline, your every Wednesday live broadcast brought to you by Frontline Gaming. We are your hosts, Kicker, the Chief of Serial and Sigilite of the FLG, Nikki D. Cannon, producer extraordinaire and currently not wearing flannel fan. And I am Seth the Mad Dog, your competitive correspondent. How has everyone been doing?
Look at us, all matching in formal, you know, black attire. We're looking slick, we're looking serious. Johnny Cash here, rocking it. All right.
I don't think Johnny Cash is the head thing, but you know.
Yeah, Johnny Cash is the head thing. All right. Guys, if you are watching us, we really appreciate it. I just screwed that up already. I'm tired. Sorry. If you are listening, you should be watching us. Yes, clearly Kicker has been working too hard and has not had opportunities to rest today. I am working hard on nonstop events, but anyway, I do want to go back and say thank you for being part of our chat. Seth is just rolling his eyes like
Kicker. No, I just looked at what you put in the show notes for your hobby progress.
Oh, steel suits. Yes. My hobby
not progress. Stealing. Are these thievery suits?
These are thievery suits. Yes. As we do on Signals from the Frontline each week, we keep ourselves accountable by sharing our hobby progress. And on my notes, I apparently say steel suits. Seth, why don't you describe my steel suits for those that are listening to our
podcast? Well, for those listening at home, this would be Tau stealth suits painted in the patented Kicker earth tones theme, which I assume that these are then going around stealing items from the enemy, hence their name, steel suit.
Exactly. Or because Kicker does not know how to spell. But yes, these are my 3x3 stealth suits. I'm very excited. I did play my first game with Tau ever. And I did manage to get my ass handed to me. It was sobering.
It was a sobering experience.
I was playing them as if they were guard. No, they're not guard. They just can't take a punch. So nope. Yeah, I was like, ouchies. So yes, I need to get better. But anyway, yes, I did get my hobby progress. I've got stealth suits. I've got Kroot on deck. I've got some hammerheads. I'm painting and building like a madman. Seth, what have you been up to? Come on, you've gotten some hobby progress.
I have been doing some things. I have been building and painting some orc bikers. These are the knobs on warbike kit from Forge World. I've had that for a while, and I kind of finally like, let's break it out, let's paint it. So I've been doing that. I have some scenic basic. I'm working on them. I want them like ramping off things and, you know, driving all crazy and wild. So I didn't get those quite done in time for the show, but I figured I'd show off at least the bikes themselves. If you've been watching and you're kind of I'm spoiling the lead. Our main segment's talking about the new YouTube channel we'll be going to. Yeah. I did some vlogs this weekend and was posting them up there from the event I was at. I went to the Coco's March Madness GT. Managed to take second place there, which was pretty cool.
Who's Coco? Is Coco part of the
community? Coco is Cody and Kat, who are the couple that own the game store that ran the GT.
Oh, okay, cool.
Kicker, I actually sent you some pictures and you never reacted. This event was at a marksmanship, like a big gun range, a very fancy gun range called Marksmanship Park. Yes. And it had a lot of like vintage military uniforms on display. And then basically a whole store selling like World War II era Springfields and M1 Grands.
Yeah, I was in shock. And also, I might have been busy scrambling to get more work done. But yes, I saw it and I was like, oh, those are so cool. And it reminded me of the World War II Museum here in New Orleans, except that's where you're getting to play 40K. How cool is that? That
you're and you can 40K. Buy guns and shoot them.
Sounds like one hell of a weekend, man.
Yeah.
Sweet. How did you do? I mean, do we want to get personal? How did you do?
Yeah, I said I went 4-1. I made the top table and I took second place.
Hell, look at that. That's my boy. Hell yeah, Seth. All right. Very proud of you.
Rocking some Necrons.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, it's a good time. So, Nikki D, what have you been up to?
I was conferencing in Florida.
I was conferencing in Florida.
Yeah, I pretty much stayed. I pretty much didn't leave the Hyatt in Orlando except to go across the bridge to go to the Orlando Convention Center, Orange County Convention Center officially, but was there for things related to my day job and my profession. It's a conference I've attended now for, actually, this was my 15th year attending this, if I include the virtual ones. So I got to see a lot of friends, got to have a great time catching up with folks, but things related to my day job in pharmacy, not at all 40K. That being said, I will let you guys know, I had so many people, so many friends asking me like, hey, my son is 7. Can I start getting him into Warhammer yet?
Can I start him into Warhammer yet? Do you just not want your son to ever succeed financially?
Well, that's what I told my friends. We're like, hey, if you want to keep your kids off of drugs and alcohol, make sure that they don't have money in their middle school, high school years, and just get them into Warhammer. Yeah. Yeah. Now, 3D printing may be a way, you know, to circumvent that if folks are into that. But
we're just gonna say it up front: the Frontline Gaming secondhand shop has got a wide assortment of affordable miniatures. But yes,
yep. No, but it was great though.
I believe there's actually a sale going on. I'm not even joking. I think I was looking around the other day, and there's a sale on for the secondhand shop.
There is. But yeah, no. So I'm happy to be back. I'm not traveling or doing anything else like that for work for at least a month. So I'll be painting here, but just not anything for this week.
Okay, Nick, what are you painting though? What is your army of choice? What are you working on?
So I've been bouncing back and forth. It's between demons and Death Guard that I'm going to be playing here coming up. I would like to be playing Death Guard.
You're playing something else coming up.
Well, I'm playing Skaven coming up, but Skaven, I've got a longer runway for them that I need. I've got a longer runway to get them ready. Whereas I do have some events coming up in the next couple of months, including Atlantic City Open, which, spoiler alert, folks, Kicker's got news on that we'll be talking about later. Yeah. So I do have more Death Guard that I need to paint up as like an immediate need. So Death Guard, demons, it'll probably be more immediately demons, but Death Guard are not going to be far behind.
Those play in both systems.
They do. I would note here just really quick, our friend Kelsey in chat did note for us, Warhammer, technically, according to the boxes, 12 plus, it's ages 12 plus or ages 15 plus if it's for the resin. So my friends asking for their 7-year-olds are going to have to wait a little bit.
Long enough for them to get, you know, a little side job so they can fund their hobby, right?
It's probably 12 plus just so the kids are old enough to like get a job or at least some part-time work.
Or sniff the glue. It's probably the glue. The glue and the knives. Yeah. That's the real thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, guys, let's jump into some, I guess, product announcements from Games Workshop. But basically, because we had Adepticon, we got, more than usual to report on. The big thing that we have to talk about is the Age of Sigmar new edition, the fourth edition. But I don't think Games Workshop formally calls it fourth edition, just like they don't call 40K 10th edition.
They just call it the new edition.
The new edition, right? But anyway, we all know it's the fourth edition. They had a really cool cinematic trailer. I think this is the first time they've ever done a cinematic trailer for Age of Sigmar, which has got to tell you something, guys. They're putting some energy behind this launch. Seth, Nick, just 1 second, quick reaction, yay or nay? Seth, go.
I've never been big into AOS, but I'm excited to see the story progress. I'm excited to see, I don't think Skaven have really had much of a range refresh since the days of End Times. So them getting some new updated models is going to be cool. The reality is, though, this is like all up Nikki D's lane.
Okay, Nikki D, immediate need, reaction. What did you think when you saw it right after you watched the trailer?
Trailer was amazing. And I'll point us back just really quick, folks, to the hype video for this edition of Warhammer 40K, where it showed Space Marines and Tyranids. If you go back and watch that video, all of the Space Marines and Tyranids that they focus on were new units or new models for the new edition of the game, right? That were in the starter set. If that's what I'm getting for Skaven, like, I'm already excited to be playing Skaven. But the things I saw for Skaven in this trailer, though, it had me really, really excited. I'm very excited. Skaven definitely need a new range refresh anyways. But the trailer for the video is fantastic. If you watched and read the description, they have been plotting and scheming the Vermin Doom, which that sounds pretty normal for them. It's the largest Skaven expansion ever into the Mortal Realms in the Age of Sigmar. And the key thing about it that makes me really excited, if you're familiar with Age of Sigmar, the Great Horned Rat is the god of the Skaven. He has now struck a deal with Archaon, where he is now has been officially elevated to one of the five Chaos Gods.
Oh wow!
So you've got Khorne, you've got Nurgle, you got Slaanesh, Tzeentch, and at least now in Age of Sigmar, you have the Great Horned Rat.
Oh wow! Okay, so that opens up some sort of weird parallel universe. Do you think we're going to get a fifth Chaos Demon in 40K? Seth, go.
So Nikki D saying that reminded me. I played through the End Times on 8th Edition Warhammer Fantasy, and the the Skaven Horn Rat was elevated to Chaos God status during that time period. So I'm guessing it was the lore refresh into AOS that removed that. So the point is they've done that before and they haven't brought that over to 40K. Okay. And I would imagine they would have to introduce some sort of rat spaceman faction to make that happen.
Which would
I don't know, like maybe crazy. Maybe GW wants to do that. Space rats. Let's go. Woo.
I'm all for space rats.
And then of course their natural predator, the space cats.
We need some sort of super cat space marine chapter or something. We got to get the wolves.
I couldn't resist, folks. I'm sorry.
Well done. Guys, though, you know, this is a big launch. You know, this is going to be a major launch. Age of Sigmar has been on fire for the past 12 months. So let's
in a good way, Kicker, in a good way.
In a good way, right? It's hot right now. Hot. Talking about new miniatures, Nick, I think was it a rat leader riding like some sort of giant rat mount? Yeah. That looked pretty cool. Some sort of cavalry rat thing. Yeah. So new models are always fun. And of course, conversion potential. But it looks like Nicky D will be playing some Age of Sigmar so he can report back to us once that edition launches. Sure. Do you want to talk briefly on the core rules changes, Nicky D, just really fast? Anything just like quick highlights of this new version? Because maybe that will entice people to give it a try.
Yeah, absolutely. And at this point, it's very, very high level details that we've gotten from Games Workshop. What we know is that the core rules have been, quote unquote, reforged for the first time since AOS launched. Does mean, and this is the key thing, is that when it goes to this new edition, their battle tomes at Age of Sigmar, those battle tomes will effectively be retired. They're going to be going to Index Hammer. Us in 40K, we've seen that happen across a couple of editions. So Age of Sigmar players, it's new. It's not scary. Some things, with Index Hammer, there are some players in 40K.
What's required for substantial growth.
Yep. So that's going to be a new thing. We do know the double turn mechanic, which 40K players say that's usually the main reason they won't play AOS, and AOS players say it's the reason why it's fun. We know the double turn is staying, but the mechanic for it is going to be reworked so that it has a different way for players to evaluate whether or not they want to.
Love it or hate it, that game mechanic has kind of become part of the core identity of AOS. Yep. It's either what, as you said, it's either what attracts you to the game or drives you away from it. So I think that's refining that, but keeping that game mechanic is a good idea for them, just to keep those game systems different.
Yeah. The last thing, the two last things, Kicker, trying to keep this part short because we'll have more rules to cover for AOS when it comes around. But they've said terrain rules are going to be updated so that it has more of an impact in the game. That's been another critique about AOS, is that effectively terrain is there and you just kind of move around it. It doesn't do anything.
Which makes all sorts of red flags, you know, be risen by us, because we make terrain. Our events are dependent on terrain. If we have to suddenly adjust our terrain, well, Age of Sigmar has really been growing. We might have to suddenly start producing more terrain, which is a scary, scary thought for us.
There's only so many, I don't know what the term is, terrain machines at the FLG headquarters.
that is the actual term we use, is terrain machines.
The
terrain machine, I believe that's Mikey G, right?
That's his stage name, but we won't get into that.
And then the last item is more streamlined list writing. We saw that kind of happen with 40K, going from the most, ninth edition to 10th edition. Don't know if that means there's kind of Age of Sigmar already kind of has reduced roles for items where it's basically Battle Line, Behemoth, some of the things like that. So there's already pretty streamlined. So I'm curious myself as to what that's going to mean. But that's kind of what we know. We also know that the first chances to kind of see and play, or what that's going to look like for Age of Sigmar, is going to be the GW Open in May in Texas, and then a Warhammer World in the UK in May. So we've got a little bit of a timeline. I mean, that's a month and a half, 2 months from now. So we'll have to wait before we start to get any kind of real details. So meanwhile, I may just be stockpiling Skaven, hoarding them myself along with cheese to get ready for the launch.
Very rat-like, my friend. Very rat-like.
Exactly. I'll be listening for Whom the Bell Tolls, listen to some Metallica. if you've got any other good song suggestions that are in the metal realm, I'll take them, folks.
And know of any sources of glowy green rocks, he's all about it.
This is obviously a big launch. People are very excited. But the other big thing that keeps on getting attention recently is Old World. Mm-hmm. So Old World at AdeptCon is bringing out the dwarves, which are personally, if I was going to play some old world, it's going to be the dwarves, right? Dwarves are just cool. They're solid, sturdy little dudes walking around with big axes. Who doesn't love that? The dwarf mountain holds will be the new dwarf, I guess, codex, or the new, I guess, box set with the codex, as well as rules for the full faction. There's going to be, I think the term they're using is a battalion box. Not many new models. I think there's just one character.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's kind of been on par with what we've seen for like orcs and goblins. Bretonians and Tombkins got a little bit more, but it still wasn't a lot of new models.
Yeah, so it looks like we got two new options for dwarf lords, and that is it. The rest of the models are your old models, which love them or hate them, that's what you got. So it will be interesting to see that. We do have Warcry getting a little bit of love too, with Briar and Bone, another set. Man, they keep on launching these Warcry sets. We will actually have Warcry at Atlantic City Open. I just finished looking an email. So Warcry does have a community. It's just interesting. The community doesn't really play that many times at events, but they're asking now to start coming to events. So we had Warcry at LVO. We'll have Warcry at ACO, and hopefully we'll keep on adding it. Let's talk about 40K, because that's what we mainly focus on. 40K got some love during Adepticon.
Yes, it did.
The Chaos Space Marines. Seth, did you like these guys? We got.
Yeah, I mean, they're cool new sculpts for Chaos Lord and the Chaos Lord with Jump Pack. They're multi build kits, so they can build multiple weapon options. These are centerpiece models for your army. They look great. I think to me it was a little underwhelming from the 40K side, because this is also like models that like they already exist in the rules. So every Chaos Space Marine player has conversions of these and has cool third party versions of these. So not to say these won't be cool and get mixed into it, but it's not like, hey, it's more, you know, they had Vashtor last year, maybe it was like, oh, they're going to have some dark ad mech stuff coming in. And, you know, kind of hoping to see more of that, but you know, these are still cool models. They are going to be sold in some of the larger box sets, the Veterans of the Long War and the Dread Talons, which is a little bit of a bummer, but GW always seems to do this where they have these large box sets where they're going to package the new characters, just like they've shown for the new Orc Mech and the Custodian Captain coming up. But inevitably they end up breaking those models out from those boxes and selling them as individual
And dude, they've been getting faster and faster and faster at doing that.
So if you really want these, you can grab those boxes, particularly if you're trying to get into Chaos Space Marines or you're trying to build up your collection, and those units are things you can add to your collection. But if you're just like, man, I've got tons of these, I just want the new sculpt, maybe just hang out and relax for a bit. And eventually they'll hit the either the secondhand market over on Frontline Gaming secondhand shop, or wait for the single model release.
And Seth, you're sitting here talking about the two new models for Chaos Space Marines, which are nice, right? But the real news is that they're getting the Codex, which is obvious, right?
After the Tau Orcs and Custodes that we were for like the springtime slot, I think the CSM were in the summertime slot. Yeah.
And we know that we're getting the Codex, and the Codex is going to have 8 detachments. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I believe this is the most detachments.
Yeah, Space Marines have 7.
Space Marines have 7. So Chaos Space Marines are getting 8.
That would be the most.
Yeah, so there we go. And I guess you have to...
For the 8-pointed star.
Yeah, right. You know, those Chaos guys, they like that number 8. So that... So as soon as we see a little bit more, and then we'll report back. But right now, it's very vague, very little information. We got obviously no rules or nothing on them yet. Following on 40K, we had Kill Team. And guess what, guys? Votann are getting another unit. It's about time, because Votann definitely have very few units. We're getting basically, you know...
Yeah.
Pioneers.
They're the pioneers. They're the guys that drive the bikes, but now they're off the bikes.
Yeah. And they got shotguns and they got a sniper rifle. And most importantly, they have really cool trench coats. Like that's all you really need, right? Unfortunately, it is a Kill Team set. So if you want this, at least for right now, it's a full Kill Team box set. So you have to get the full thing. The good news, though, is the other side looks pretty cool. It's Gene Stiller Cult. Who doesn't love good Gene Stiller Cult? All for the new...
I did say I was starting all the Xenos armies this year. And I guess technically GSC are a Xenos army.
GSC is 100% a Xenos thing. And it's cool because obviously these are the Brood Brothers, in case you didn't see the live preview yourself. The Brood Brothers, they're going on the new Adstra Militarum, you know, Cadian bodies. So brand new sculpts. It's going to be a nice, you know, box set. But of course, if you're really into...
I don't know. How comfortable I feel about this idea kicker, because then if I start collecting GSC, then I'm real close to starting to collect Guard at that point.
Oh man,
well you have a friend you. You have a friend that you can borrow the guard from, at least. So you don't Seth, maybe that's the answer, is you don't have to start it yourself. You just borrow
from the guard stuff. I don't think Seth could play guard. I think you want to be able to punch things, and you just accept you can't. You just it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So Kicker, when you're talking the Brood Brothers, it just made me think, and when we get to a not so distant future, when there's a Henry Cavill cinematic, 40K universe on Amazon, it just made me think. You said the Brood Brothers, and I'm just picturing now two Brood Brothers in suits with sunglasses, and it's 106 miles, you know, to the warp point. Got a full, you know, half tank of gas, full pack of demo charges. Hit it, you know.
We're wearing sunglasses. Yeah.
Oh God.
Blues Brothers, guys. Blues Brothers.
Yes, no, that's where we were going. We got it. We got it.
I know. I would definitely approve of that. So this is interesting though, because the kill team sets, you know, they come off for kill team, but they tend to be pretty decent for 40K. I mean, the commandos for orcs are a really solid unit. So, obviously, we got the mandrakes, the most recent one, I think, that were, you know, limited. Anyway, we'll see how these go. I want to know what you guys think these Votan Pioneers, what kind of rules they're going to have. I'm thinking they're going to be like scouts from Space Marines, you know?
Yeah, I think kind of an infiltrating unit, maybe, you know, kind of some sort of supporting role for the rest of the army. I think that can make a lot of sense. Yeah,
they could be fun. They could be fun. All right. And finally, let's talk about pre-orders going up this weekend. We've got some more Underworld stuff. This is Winter Maw. This is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like Cities of Sigmar dudes with lightning bolts coming out of their heads versus some flesh eater zombie.
Oh God, I love when Kicker tries to describe these things.
I can't. I mean,
no. I mean, you're not wrong. Exactly. You're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, guys, like, let's just be clear. All right, this is a weird ass set here. All right, I can't even describe the lightning bolt dudes. I mean, Seth, can you describe them better than I can? I mean,
no, I think that is perfect. You are a literary savant.
I try.
We're sticking with lightning bolt dudes, my friend.
Lightning bolt dudes. I don't know. Whatever. I can't get excited.
Let's not get too hung up on them. What else is coming out?
We've also got Necromunda, right?
Yep.
And this, for Nikki D will appreciate this. We've got giant rats. did you see these things, Nikki D?
Okay.
If Nikki D's like, wait, giant rats?
Does that mean yes? No, I did see these in the pre-order, and if like these sculpts are what, if these sculpts are what, you know, more of the Skaven stuff in Age of Sigmar is going to look like coming out, I'm going to be very excited. They're very, they're simple yet weirdly gross at the same time, and I'm a big fan, so I may pick up a couple of them. I may pre-order some just to kind of, hey, maybe they might find a way into a kit bash for my Age of Sigmar army.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And so we got Necromunda. Then we got Legion Imperialis also getting stuff too. We're getting, you know, some batteries, both Medusa and Basilisk. We're getting Land Raider Proteus squadrons. We're getting some drop pods. We're getting some more flyers from the Solar Auxilia, a couple of Titans. So nice new stuff to support Legion Imperialis. I have not played this game. I know people must be playing it because they keep on releasing models for it and they're selling out. So I assume they're doing good. Do you guys know anyone that's actually played Legion Imperialis yet?
Yeah, I know a few people in the Atlanta area that have.
Cool. Well, yeah. I hope to maybe add it into maybe Texas, because we can't do it for ACO. We don't have enough time, but maybe Texas will bring it in. So that would be fun. Speaking of events, let's start off with BAO, guys. This is a big deal. BAO is going to have set terrain. I'm talking about no player placed terrain. Yeah, this is a long time coming. We've been working, you know, we have a lot of terrain that we have to pivot and adjust and make use for it. We also try to listen to what the community wanted. The community has finally hit that kind of critical point now that enough people really, really do want to try set terrain, and that's what we're doing. Yep. This will be the first event for Frontline Gaming this year using set terrain, but Atlantic City will also be using set terrain, as well as Lone Star Open, SoCal Champions Cup, and of course, most likely, almost 100% LVO. So guys, yeah, we are moving towards a set terrain. It will not be one set. Frontline Gaming has the strong belief of using different types of terrain to keep it aesthetically entertaining and exciting.
But each set will have its own predefined layout.
Yes. So you'll be able to look in the player packet or the Frontline Gaming app and see all the different sets of terrain that will be used at that event and how they are deployed.
So you can practice. I would say, very importantly, Kicker, reminding folks that we continue to update and modify our terrain packs as we go throughout the year.
Yep.
So ideally, by the time we're sitting here for LVO 2025, God help us, we will have had plenty of feedback. That means you have to go and play on this terrain.
And we don't really take the feedback from people that don't go to our events because it's just not as helpful. We want the people that are coming to our events. So we do a post-event survey. We ask people on the spot.
You know, talk to your local TOs, see if you got a small event, maybe get that small event to try running the terrain and give us some feedback.
Yeah,
I think that would be a good way if you can't make it to one of our events, but definitely come to our events because every event kicker over there, he puts out a nice little survey asking for, your feedback. That's obviously going to go directly into kicker's ear holes and be very important for kicker to hear. But yeah, I really want the community to kind of give this a good, I don't want to say test run because we're already test running it, but I want the community's feedback on this so we can have the best preset terrain as possible coming
up. And that's so BAO will be the first one, and we probably won't be able to change much from BAO to ACO because we'll have the ACO packet pretty much set by the time, ACO quickly follows BAO. But the idea is that, we're going to pivot. So by the time we get to Texas, we can start adding terrain, removing rules, adjusting as needed. We have a really strong group of guys testing this out, like currently, right now, they're in the warehouse testing out this terrain set. We've got a couple.
Yeah, we actually haven't unlocked them. It's probably an OSHA violation, but we'll get to that later.
We just send them some pizza every now and then. No, but we also have a few different community groups across the country testing out the terrain sets to make sure that they are going to be great for BAO. But like I said, we're happy to pivot and adjust once they go through the real test that isn't a full size event. So we've got Atlantic City open, which is in June. Atlantic City Open tickets will be going live within a week. And guys,
it's almost like that's what Kicker's been working on frantically for the last few days.
Yes. I mean, seriously, I'm trying. So 40K is not so challenging. It's just all the other game systems. We're bringing in Song of Ice and Fire, Blood Bowl, all these other game systems, and they all need a lot of support and love and my attention to help them get off the ground. So I'm a little tired because of that. But anyway, ACO, we're doing something really, really cool, which we have not done before. If you've been to Atlantic City Open, you know that the venue, the hall that we play in is kind of far away from food. It's on the second floor. It's kind of at the end of the build, the complex.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is your 40K ticket, your Age of Sigmar ticket, will both include lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And it's far more affordable than if you were going to go buy that lunch yourself anywhere
else. And we've had food in the hall in the past year, and it's been good.
Yeah. So basically your ticket is going to include not only some event exclusive swag we're doing. So your ticket will include a, refrigerator magnet that you might've seen at LVO, but it'll be of course to the ACO. So you'll see a really cool magnet. You'll get a shot glass. You'll get your ticket to play. Now, both Age of Sigmar and 40K will now be 3-day events. They're not, you don't have to play on Sunday if you want to get out of there on Sunday, but it will be a 3-day event that everyone can play all 3 days. Age of Sigmar is interesting. Their main event is Saturday and Sunday, but on Friday, there's a casual RTT with its own prize as well. Okay. So basically,
I'm interested, Kicker. So is this kind of similar to the Nova or the Games Workshop format where you need to play your first 2 days to get your 6 rounds and then rounds like 7 and 8 on Sunday are more optional rounds?
So no one's going to be... I'm going to let the judges speak because I don't want to miss speak.
Okay.
But the idea, though, is that we don't want people to feel like they have to stay on Sunday, but we want to find one truly undefeated winner. And we want to allow people to keep on playing so that they can and get more time and more reps.
And there's some incentive, I'm sure, for playing on Sunday.
Yes, there's definitely incentives for playing. But from my understanding, and I'm going to let the judges figure this all out, we're not going to be doing a GW style pods because there's been a lot of negative feedback about pods. We've seen that repetitively.
It's almost like our head judges in chat right now saying no pods.
Yeah. So there we go. Adam, our head judges in chat, and he's confirming no pods. I've got enough feedback. People saying do not do pods. So I know that's what's done at some of the other games, other tournaments. But people seem to really, at least the attendees that come to our events really don't want to do pods, which we will not do. So anyway, at ACO, you'll be able to get a ticket. It'll be one ticket. It will include lunch for 2 days. I think one day is going to be cheeseburgers and fries. Another day is going to be like sort of pasta with ciabatta and some chicken or meatballs in the box. I don't know. So anyway, nice lunch and then some additional merchandise with your ticket. So yay for that. Following Atlantic City Open, we've got the Lone Star Open. Mm-hmm. Give me like a month before we can get that live. I got to get ACO live and then we can focus on that. The Lone Star Open, though, once again, will be our military appreciation event. And I hope to see both Nick and Seth there because it's in Dallas.
Looking forward to that, man. I had a lot of fun last year. Saw a lot of cool guys. Yeah. Definitely want to make it back to that.
We're going to get some barbecue, my friend. It's such an easy event to get to, no matter where you are in the country.
If I remember correctly, didn't you go off on an adventure to find some special ice cream?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I did. I love this. I, you know what, man? Dallas has literally everything. It is one of those like major metroplexes that you can find anything you ever want. But they legitimately also have like really good barbecue, like one exit away from where we're at. So,
okay.
Yes. Kicker, I will say the number of folks that just even since Cherokee or really just the beginning of the year, the number of folks that have been asking me, hey, you're going to Lone Star, right? Yeah. Has increased quite a bit. So, I mean, I know that's kind of a newer event, but, you know, I'm the East Coast, guy that's here, but there have been more and more folks that have been, hey, you're going to be at Lone Star, right? So it might be on the calendar.
It's such an easy, so it's easy to fly to. The hotel is affordable to stay at. Once you're there, you never even need to get in an Uber. It's such a great event. And of course, it is also our military appreciation event. So that's always a fun little side, side part of that event.
I would not recommend going to dinner with Stephen Box. I did that last year. The man stays way too late at dinner. He was like, I left at midnight. He was still eating and talking. I was Go to bed.
I should give him a call though and see if he wants to do his workshop. He did a very big workshop last year at Lone Star, so he might want to do it again. All right, let's jump into some nerd news. Nikki D, are you leaving us hanging here? Do we have any nerd news we want to talk about?
We're going to talk about your nerd news. You made a game. God.
We're going to talk about my nerd news.
Yeah, so guys, you left us last week telling us that you were going to be teaching your son's. Son's class. Yeah. How to play Warhammer or some sort of game. How did that go?
So yesterday I volunteered to go to my kid's school. So my son is 3, almost 4, and teach a bunch of toddlers miniature wargaming, but you can't use anything that is violent, so no guns or pew-pews, as they call them, no tanks, no spears, no swords, no scary dragons, yet T-Rexes are okay. I don't understand why.
T-Rexes aren't scary. They're friends.
T-Rexes are dinosaurs. They're historically relevant, but dragons are not. No nurgly monsters, Nick. Nothing like that. So it was really hard to try to teach them a game. Oh, yeah, by the way, these kids really struggle with numbers still. So, like, yeah, we're not measuring,
I saw it. You actually had you managed to find dice that were just solid colors on each side.
Yep. So it's cool. Every kid knows their colors. So
that was cool.
So in my head, what you just taught him is just, hey kids, we're gonna play deploy teleport homers or just cleanse or find enemy lines, right?
Yeah, and they loved it. They loved it, and they all got up on the terrain. Like they had so much fun. I there was actually several other parents teaching.
Did you get to test out the durability of a frontline gaming mat with several toddlers?
Dude, the frontline gaming mat held up to about 50 different. It was different groups of like a 6 or 7 toddlers coming through. The toddler, the frontline gaming mat held up wonderfully. I did not use frontline gaming MDF terrain because I knew it would get destroyed.
I definitely see some kids, sitting on one of those and it's not built to hold a toddler.
I had some injection molded plastic, super industrial grade terrain, but literally at least 3 or 4 kids just pretended like they were King Kong and they were right down the middle of a game. And you could see some of the other kids were really tactically focused and they're like, dude, what the hell? Like, why do you do that?
Come on, man. I'm trying to figure out where the treasure is.
Toddlers have zero impulse control. But what I'd like to say though, guys, is whether you have a cousin, whether you have a son or a daughter or, man, just take some time to roll out a gaming mat, let them play with some miniatures, get them interested in it now, because they're going to grow up and they're going to want to play 40K or Age of Sigmar eventually with you. Right now, it's pretty easy. Just throw some terrain on a mat, give them some little miniatures to go pew, pew, pew with. And that's the beginning of hopefully a really cool relationship or friendship you can form with them on this gaming stuff. So anyway, it was really rewarding. And now my son is more excited than ever to get his own army. So let's jump into our main segment now, right?
All right.
So, take it away.
This is my topic. All right. So some of you folks may have heard, we made a little announcement towards the end of last week. This show, Signals from the Frontline, is moving to a new YouTube channel. So it's caused a little bit of a buzz, lots of questions. I'm here to kind of explain what's going on. So everyone's up to speed of kind of what the plan is, because there's a lot of cool stuff coming down the pipeline. So Kicker and myself have been doing the show for almost 3 years now. It'll be 3 years basically by June. And Nikki D, you're on a year and a half now, a little over a year. So we've been doing it for a while now. Now the show has been running for over a decade at this point. I can remember listening some to the very early episodes of Frankie and Reese recording on their laptop in their shop, where you could hear the buses in the background. So the show itself has existed on audio only, on Facebook, on YouTube, on a bunch of different platforms. So the show is just moving to a new channel. The Frontline Gaming channel has a lot of other content that's been going up recently, particularly with like Blood Throne and with our Matt advertisements. From folks that know YouTube, YouTube was getting, let's call it, confused about what our audience wants to watch. And so a lot of our videos were actually not getting shown when people were searching for our videos. So we're going to move to our own channel. That way, the content that we're producing gets treated a little bit more friendly by the YouTube algorithm, if that makes sense.
But I'm seeing in chat, let's just make it very clear, guys. It is still 100% part of Frontline Gaming. Frontline Gaming is our primary stakeholder, sponsor. Yep.
We are still part of the Frontline Gaming company. We're all going to have the t-shirts. So nothing's changing there. We're just moving to a new channel. It's still all part of Frontline Gaming, just to make YouTube happy. If you're an audio listener and you're listening to us right now, you don't have to do a thing. You can just sit here and keep listening to us. It'll come out on the same podcast feed. But if you want to continue to watch the video elements of our show and other content that we're going to be producing, you'll need to go over to the new Signals from the Frontline YouTube page. It's just that easy. You go to YouTube, you type in Signals from the Frontline. You should find our nice little icon right there, which is behind Nikki D's head. If Nikki D could disappear for a second.
It's totally not.
I'm going to do a little poof.
And donkey, and
there we go. Perfect. Yeah, it's our Shrek donkey and Puss in Boots logo. But you can find that. I know YouTube will never be happy, but you know, hey, the more we can do for it, the better. Now,
we should tell people that our audio only listeners that we would really, as your friends, whether you see us at events or you never see us in person, but you just listen to us all the time, we would really, really, really appreciate it if you would just subscribe or like. Yeah. The YouTube thing, even if you never watch us, because it really helps us.
Everyone knows all the fun things that I'm going to tell you to do with YouTube. Go over there and subscribe, like the videos, put a comment in the comment section, share it with your friends, because we do have a lot of listeners that are kind of maybe a little used to the routine and so might not realize that we moved, and we don't want them to think the show went away. The show is still here. We're going to be doing it every week. Now, there is going to be a bit of a change in format. I am sad to say that this is probably going to be one of the last live shows we do for a while. We're going to be moving to a pre-recorded format. That just makes it a little easier for the team here to be able to get the content we want to put out and put it out, more importantly, in a better audio and visual quality that we're happy with. That way, when we run into the technical difficulties of someone's internet takes a crap out and we lose audio, we're not stuck putting out what feels like a lesser product sometimes. So we can make sure we get that. It's also going to help us when we're doing things like interviews with guests. We can be a lot more flexible about recording those things. So along with this, the new video format, we're going to be doing a whole new set design. We've been working on it behind the scenes. I've been working with an artist. It's looking fantastic. It's not quite ready to roll out yet. We should have it in the next few weeks, but it's going to look amazing. Now, I'm looking in chat. I'm staring at live chat right now. And I know immediately what chat is thinking is, how are we going to interact with the hosts?
I'm going to miss
without live chat.
What experience. Do we do?
Kicker, there's this little thing called Discord. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, actually I have.
So I was actually surprised today, folks. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be opening a Signals from the Frontline Discord. I am actually this very second posting the Discord invite in chat from the Signals from the Frontline YouTube account. So if you're in the live chat, you can check it out there. After the show, or if you're listening to it, we will have it in the detailed description for this video and for the podcast. And it'll be in this in future ones as well for anyone to join. It's free to join. Come hang out. It's going to be a great way for us to interact with you guys throughout the week, show off your hobby progress, a lot of that stuff that we've been doing, and a great way for us to interact about the show, or for you guys to suggest what you have ideas for other shows, and to give us show questions on a weekly basis.
And it will be a direct link. I mean, I was joking. I really don't use Discord intentionally because I'm already pulled in so many different platforms for work. But and if you're on Facebook, which a large segment of our audience is on Facebook, I'm very active and respond to
and we'll still be over there on the Frontline Gaming community page.
Of course.
But this will be another more formalized way to interact with us.
And I will be on our Discord link. So that'll be another way you can get a direct link. So because not everyone wants to be on Facebook, right? So that'll be another way you can get a direct, dare I say, live response from, if not me, Seth or Nick, to have a quick conversation with us. Hey, I'm going to an event. I got a question. Or, hey, dude, what about this? You know, so that, you know, anyway, so it's another way you can get a direct link to any one of the three of us, as opposed to just.
And again, feel free to invite your friends. This is going to be a open Discord. Now, there are going to be some community guidelines that folks are going to have to follow. We'll talk about that more down the line as it comes up, but hopefully it's not an issue. But that way you guys can maintain that interaction that we have. And hopefully some folks that maybe have been a little bit more on the sidelines that are not comfortable hopping in YouTube chat and are listening to the after the fact on either YouTube, watching the video or listening to podcasts, gives you guys another chance to interact with us. Because we do see a lot of folks at events that listen to us after or watch us after the fact. And I kind of felt bad that sometimes they don't get a chance to interact with us.
Can we do like a paint and chat through Discord?
Yeah, we can definitely set up some regular hangout and chat nights.
Because I think Seth's getting annoyed with me calling him while I'm painting. So we can, you know, I'm like,
literally while putting the show notes together tonight, I was on a paint and chat with some other guys or other friends. So that's certainly something where we're not prevented or precluded from doing those sort of things. And, you know, especially I would say some of the key parts, right, when we talk about folks in the community, being the thing that I'm most excited about when I joined the show a year ago was, hey, let's talk about doing recorded segments and having guests on. And, you know, when we have folks like, say, for example, like a Dean, right, who Dean Pritchard, who, you know, a hobby winner, it could be a little bit difficult schedule wise when you've got a set show time, whether or not someone can join the show and whether they have a good internet connection. Yeah. So I'm excited because this allows us to have a lot more flexibility to showcase the community, which Kicker, as you've said, the frontline gaming, that's always what this group is about.
Yeah.
That I know a lot of folks are interested in playing TTS. That's going to be another great format for us to engage. I play a lot of TTS. I'd be happy to show some folks how to play it. Now, outside of the Discord and the change in the format to this show, there are some other new things coming. Since we're going to have our own YouTube channel that we can put more content on if we wanted to. Some folks may remember that I used to run my own Orc channel. So I'm kind of reviving some of that content creation, but rather than putting it up on my Seth the Mad Dog channel, I'm going to be putting it up here on the Signals from the Frontline channel. So just this past weekend, I was doing vlogs, live vlog shorts from my phone. I'll still be doing some of those. I might try to go back and do some of the more edited together vlogs. This weekend kind of worked more easy, just kind of going off my phone because I wasn't sure kind of what the venue was going to be and I didn't want to haul all the camera gear along. But also Tacticas. I know Orcs are coming soon one day and I'll be super excited to break down all the Orcs. And rather than trying to monopolize this show's time talking about that, it's just another great format for me to get out there and talk about some of those things out there. I know as I go down the hobby road, I might be trying to show some more hobby tips and tricks, but certainly if any of my other hosts want to make more content, it's a chance for all of us to be a little bit more creative. I keep getting folks saying the Discord link is not showing. I've literally posted it like twice. Nikki D, can you try posting it?
Yes, I will see, or text it to me right now as running.
So
I do not see it when you post it in there.
No, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in our other chat in our other Discord because I don't know how to get it from my phone or from my computer to my phone to you and back again.
But you know, you're talking about all these other platforms, you're talking about TTS, Discord. We're gonna have all these ways to interact. The interviews, talking about like guys with Dean.
Oh,
I've got some like really, really, let's just say a top tier community leaders, maybe authors that would love to be part of us and can't make our live show. It's just not feasible. But by recording our show, we'll be able to do those, you know, really nice interviews as well. Seth, take it away. I know you're looking, you got something.
So folks that are asking for the link, go check now. There we go. Yep. It was blocking it because it was not coming from the Frontline Gaming community account, apparently. We will have it in the description of the show. It will be on the Frontline Gaming community page. It will be in the description of the podcast. There'll be lots of ways we will make sure it is out there if you don't see it tonight. Down the line, someone actually threw out a great idea, and I'm going to encourage you to do this. Remember how you were talking about the weathering medium for Monument Hobbies?
New shit.
Doing a quick little cell phone short of that would be fantastic.
Oh, yes. Yes. So even you guys can do all the tactical crap. I'll do the hobby stuff. I love it.
Yeah, well, all that kind of stuff is cool. Moving down the line, if this really ends up, this community gets behind this Discord and these new content, we're certainly open to talking about opening up a Patreon to kind of get some more content for you guys going, and maybe some other benefits that Kicker might be able to arrange. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, should we just talk about the concept of the Patreon? Like, you guys tell us what you want. we can literally make anything. I'm not really sure what would be exciting, but like,
yeah,
I mean, obviously we can make dice or things, but we can make something like really cool. Like what if we did a custom Signals from the Frontline gaming mat? Like I'm talking about full size 44 by 60 inch, like gaming mat that, you know, like we could do all sorts of fun stuff. So
yeah. I think that's the important point, Kicker. We are expanding and updating the show, but we are also here and want to know what you guys want to see from a new Signals from the Frontline. What do you want to see from new content on the channel? What do you want to see from a Discord community? Because we want to make that happen for you, because just like Frontline Gaming, we are for the community.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. Now, so this is our last live show on this channel. Next week, the show will be pre-recorded and it'll be posted on Thursday morning. So check your feeds Thursday mornings. That's when we'll be going to posting our show. That way we can still try to keep our recording night the same for our personal schedules and then move it around a little bit as we need to. That's also the beauty of a pre-record, is say, I don't know, people have life engagements on a Wednesday night. Rather than us being down a host that night or trying to get in a fill-in host, we can just move our recording night and make that work a little bit better for you, so we can be a little bit more consistent about our content. Also, so Kicker doesn't have to stay up late on a Wednesday night right before he leaves for an event. Maybe, who knows?
Yeah,
maybe
that'd be really helpful. That'd be really helpful.
Yeah. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see what the community wants us to do, because we are happy to do and make a lot of things happen for you guys. So exciting times for us. Kind of glad that we can finally start to roll this out to you, because it's been something we've been talking about and working on. And I'm super excited about the set, but I can't show you it just yet. But let's just say it's from universe far, far away, but not so dissimilar to where we're at.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good.
And importantly, copyright distinct. So, guys, what are your thoughts on the updates and the changes?
I think it's gonna be really cool. I like the idea of having a direct line that's outside of Facebook and outside of email to our audience, so that people can communicate to me. Because I know a lot of people want to reach out to me and talk and ask questions. I think the opportunity now to really do some cool interviews will be fun. I will miss the chat, though. I really will. I love you guys, but I don't think it's too far of a concept of not having a chat. I mean, a live show maybe at one point again.
Yeah.
And I definitely think if we can do the Payton chats, you know, theoretically on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every now and then, I would totally be up for that, because, you know, it'd be fun to talk to some of these guys.
Yeah. And I have lots of ideas that I don't want to spoil right now, but I certainly see this as another opportunity for us to expand our content into other areas, maybe into other game systems we don't cover as much. By maybe getting some community members that are very excited about those topics to help us lead that way.
Nice, dude. Also, let's just be honest. We are flexible, right? Let's hear what you guys want and we'll try to adjust accordingly.
Yeah. All right. Nikki D, what else are you excited about?
I'm just excited for the change. You know, when I joined the show a year ago, it was something where the technical part of it was something new for me, and that has shown at times, and it's been an area where Kicker and Seth, you guys have had the grace to let me grow in those areas. But I have my own experience when it comes to show production, guest engagement, guest involvement. Those are all the things that was part of why I got brought on for the show in the first place. So I'm excited for that, and excited for what it has for the future. My experience, since I deal with a lot of change management in my day job, is that you start things slow and low. And then you kind of build up from there. So it'll be a lot of the same, different bit of a set. But as we get our feet set, and as we get a response for the community, I'm excited to see what we can bring forward. I will note there are a couple of community thoughts for videos, hiking and camping content from Kicker.
Are you joking? Are you trolling
me? No, that's literally what Chad posted.
Let's do it. We could get Joe and I hiking. Joe and I went for a hike last year this time. We'll just Joe from War Games Live and I just walking around in the backwoods before an event. Let's do it.
Yep. Kelsey had a thing here too, bringing team leaders on before the big team tournament. Kelsey, funny that you say that. That's one of the things that we've been talking about for a long time, right? Kicker, we've got a big team tournament coming up in a few months, and it's probably a good idea for us to introduce some of those teams to the internet.
I can't say we're going to get every single team, but we're going to get to most teams. I believe one of the first teams we'll be bringing on will be Team XBZ. That will probably be in 2 weeks. So, by the way, guys, we're going to be bringing on Team XBZ in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. I'll pencil that into the schedule.
Thanks. Sorry.
No, but
yeah, we definitely want to do
this. Is more lead time the kicker normally gives us, and now we can plan and be like, hey, Steven Corrales, what's a good time to record for you? Yeah. And it makes this process that much easier.
Yeah.
See, all positive here, kicker. All right.
All positive.
Final thoughts for the night, guys.
I want to get another round, another game in with my Tao. Like, I got my ass handed.
You're gonna say with your kid?
No, with my kid. No. I won that game, dude. Like, you know, I won it fair and square. You know, I beat my 3-year-old in that game, which is no. Seriously though, I really he had fun, and he's been asking since we played yesterday at his school. The game he's been asking since yesterday. Like, can we play again? I'm like, maybe this weekend we'll find it. But I really do actually want to get another game in with Tao because I got destroyed so badly, and I'm like, I can do better. I just got to figure out how to play this stuff. So that's what I'm gonna try and do if I get a few hours on Sunday, maybe. What about you, Nick? What are you up to, man?
Well, I was at a conference for 5 days, so catch up on life. I'm likely gonna go see the new Ghostbusters movie in theaters this weekend. Frozen Empire. I really liked Afterlife, the movie that came out a couple years ago. And then aside from that, I've got a trios tournament with a bunch of guys from the Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen in 2 weeks. So I will likely be figuring out what the heck I'm going to run for that event. It's probably going to be something chaos again, folks. So I may be painting up some demons and or Death Guard to prepare for that event. So I'm excited to be back on the hobby table and back to Warhammer.
Nick, for the new show, the new channel, your homework is you need to kind of give a little intro on site during that event of how the three-man team event works, because I've never gone to a three-man. I mean, I've seen doubles, but I never three-man team. So let's get a little overview, because that'd be really kind of cool content. So
yeah, there will absolutely be some on-site content, some introductions of, and Seth, you mentioned this. We didn't call this out in the show. We mentioned last week that our friend JC from Legion of Extraordinary, that he was named as Warhammer hero. The full list actually came out today. So folks, go and check that out. Look up the events, see if there's any that are or supported in your area. This hobby and the people in it are absolutely amazing. And JC is certainly one of the greatest that we all know. But there's a lot of other folks that are doing pretty cool stuff as well. And check them out when you see them in person. Give them a handshake, pat them on the back, all of those things.
Yep. JC is definitely a solid dude. And yes, everyone on that list were I was reading through it. I don't know most of them personally, but sounds like a bunch of very stellar members of the community there. So for me, I'm still working on a top secret project. Can't reveal what it is just yet. But I am going to be, of course, working on the technical side of getting the new YouTube channel running the way I want it, getting the set design the way we want it, working on getting the Discord. By the way, if you're someone who's listening who is just really well-versed in getting a cool Discord server get running, you just reach out to your boy Seth here so you can either give him a hand or be a mod or something, because I'm not the most Discord tech savvy, but I certainly have seen some very cool-looking Discords, and I would like ours to be a cool-looking Discord too. But, yep. That's about it for tonight. We thank you so much for watching. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of Signal from the Frontline. Have a great week, and we will see you next week.
Goodbye. Good night, guys.